Imagine a cafe on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, smoky, noisy. This is the winter of 1917, New York City.
One of Trotsky's favorite cafes was the Monopole Cafe on 2nd Avenue in Lower New York, around 8th or 9th Street. And if you walked into it today, it was very reminiscent of cafes in Vienna or Paris. There would be people at tables, card tables, people drinking, foreign languages, probably pierogies and latkes and herrings, and people drinking schnapps and people haggling over politics. That's what they did.
That's historian Kenneth Ackerman, whose book Trotsky in New York, 1917, tells the story of a radical America largely forgotten today. Leon Trotsky lived in a working-class tenement in the Bronx and roamed the politically active streets of immigrant-crowded New York. He wrote for the socialist literary magazine Novy Mir, was a celebrity active in local politics, an ally of socialist presidential candidate Eugene Debs. But for the 3 months he was in New York, his words and movements were watched with great attention all over the world.
Well, New York City in 1917 was a very different place. It was, in a lot of ways, it felt like a foreign country. You had large, vast, literally vast neighborhoods where people didn't speak English, where the food was all European food. You had large numbers of people who were literally straight off the boat, people who were born on the other side of the ocean and came here. There have been vast waves of immigration since the middle 1800s. And so in New York City, there were some 500,000 Russians, 300,000 Italians, 200,000 Irish, and so on down the list.
It was an immigration kaleidoscope,
yes,
with a politics to match.
Yes. The politics were very different than today. I mean, yes, Tammany Hall, the Democratic Party, was the strongest voice in the city, but they competed for power with the Socialist Party. And socialism itself was at a high point in America and had many different forms, all the ways from the radical anarchists under Emmett Goldman to the radical labor movement under the IWW, Big Bill Haywood. And the biggest movement was the Socialist Party of America, which within itself had many feuding factions ranging from the more moderate Morris Hillquit to the more radical Leon Trotsky.
And Trotsky himself was not unlike maybe a member of the Rolling Stones. If there was a Trotsky sighting, it ended up in discussions at coffee houses and even in the newspapers.
Around the world,
yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Trotsky was very much a celebrity within this small circle of radicals who had outposts literally in every city. Most of them Russian emigres. People had been leaving Russia since the 1880s because of persecution. Trotsky was known as the one who had been arrested, sent to Siberia twice, and escaped twice.
What was his influence here, and what was his platform here that tried to influence matters in Moscow?
Well, when Trotsky landed, he very quickly got drawn in because there was a brewing fight within the New York leftist world at the moment he landed in January 1917, and it all had to do with World War I. Europe at this point was in its third year of World War I, a terrible experience. More than 10 million people had been killed so far. And there was a feeling of pointlessness about World War I that we tend to forget today. We tend to confuse it with World War II, the good war. World War I was widely viewed as a squabble among kings and capitalists. At that point, America had stayed out. We had benefited from it. We were having a cultural grand period. Broadway, the movies.
The Gilded Age of
the Grand Epoch.
And Europe was slaughtering itself over, yes, this squabble of kings and capitalists.
Correct. And at that point, America was just teetering on the verge of getting in. And the question within the left wing, the socialists, the New York immigrants, who all hated the war for a lot of different reasons, was what do we do if America goes in? Do we act as patriots and defend the country, or do we fight it to the hilt?
And with the discussion of Vladimir Putin in mind in today's election campaign, mm-hmm, how do we gauge the extent to which America was bound up in the debates in Moscow of the 1917-1918 period?
Moscow itself is a very different place, and St. Petersburg was a very different place back then. In early 1917, Moscow or Russia was ruled by the Tsar, very autocratic leader. And most of the dissidents had left the country. They were either pushed out or sent to Siberia or had escaped at some point. And so there was a great interaction between the social democratic movement around the world and dissidents within Russia. They went under a lot of different names, Bolsheviks, Mensheviks. You know, the group was very fractured. But when the chance came to actually overthrow the system and actually create a revolution in Russia, when the first wave of the revolution started in March 1917 with the Tsar being overthrown, radicals around the world started running home. They thought this was their chance to finally achieve socialism, something they had all talked about in an abstract way up until then.
America was not on the side of the autocrat in this discussion, the Tsar. It was on the side of the revolution.
Yes. And this is another thing that we tend to forget today, because the way the story turns out is communism ends up winning in Russia, which we were against. For the interim period, when the Tsar was overthrown in Russia, we were all for it. The Tsar was a hated figure around the world. He was reviled by virtually all the immigrants in America who had come fleeing persecution. He was the major reason why we couldn't enter World War I, because there was so much ill feeling for him.
So Leon Trotsky would view the commentary about Putin being a great leader by a presidential candidate as being outrageous.
Yeah.
You would even recognize this kind of discussion.
Correct. Correct. For Trotsky, and again, his later life is very controversial, but at this point, he wanted to see socialism. And socialism at that point, Trotsky was what you called a Menshevik. He would become a Bolshevik later. But Mensheviks believed that socialism would be achieved through a mass movement, a democratic movement of people taking power.
Would Bernie Sanders and Leon Trotsky, there might be some language barriers, but would they share a meal together if intervening time was suddenly swept away?
They would share a meal together, but they'd probably be fighting after the first appetizer.
Arguing over what?
Trotsky represented the radical fringe of even within the socialist movement at the time. Bernie Sanders would represent the democratic socialist wing, the people who felt that revolution was more of a metaphor, that you achieve socialism by winning elections and passing reforms through legislatures. He was represented at the time by a man named Morris Hillquit, who was the head of the Socialist Party, who tried to make the Socialist Party part of the American mainstream by electing congressmen and mayors and state legislators, that kind of thing.
And they all would have viewed the Donald Trumps of the world as capitalists and kings, and Hillary Clinton as a member of the establishment who would probably never be seen on the streets where Trotsky and Sanders would have coffee.
Correct. Huh. Yes, they would view Donald Trump as the archenemy, as a capitalist. They would view Hillary Clinton. They viewed Woodrow Wilson as the tool of the capitalist leadership of the country.
So what are the lessons of Trotsky's attempt to create a socially responsible revolution in Russia that failed?
Mm-hmm.
Is he viewed today as a moderate who had a brief moment of impact in the United States, or is he part of the dustbin of history, as Stalin would say?
Unfortunately, he's because socialism failed in Russia and communism failed in Russia, and Trotsky was kicked out by Stalin. He became a dissident even within his own movement. He is largely forgotten today, and that's a shame, particularly within Russia, where the Stalinist era literally erased him from the country's history. He's very little known among younger people. But he is still today considered the radical of the radicals. He is the one who is always pushing for change. He is the one who would not be satisfied with the status quo. He became a Menshevik when being a Menshevik was the most radical thing to be. He became a Bolshevik when he got back to Russia and realized that the more moderate Mensheviks were never going to take power. He realized the compromise didn't work. Once he was in power, once the communists did take over, he found that he couldn't deal with them. He couldn't deal with their autocracy, with their controlling bureaucracy. So he was always kind of a half a step ahead, and that often put him on the outs.
His end, of course, in Mexico,
yes,
right? In controversial circumstances that we don't fully know today, right?
Well, it's largely understood that he was killed by an agent on orders of Joseph Stalin,
right?
That the NKVD set up an agent through their local affiliate in Mexico, a man named Raymond Mercader, who insinuated himself into the Trotsky circle, pretended that he was an ally, got access to his office, and attacked him with an ice pick.
Kenneth Ackerman is author of Trotsky in New York, 1917, A Radical on the Eve of Revolution.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.